Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Great to be in Adelaide this morning, Origin Day, and we're here at the Stanford Hotel just across the road from Adelaide Oval just before we bring in our very special next guest. I just wanted to read this text out. Hi, guys. What a find. 8 original Tina Turner cassettes released by Rugby League back in the day, still in original packaging. One with Tina's autograph. Must be worth something now. Very hard to read Tina's autograph. Not for sale as yet. Queensland Game 1 winners, 2023 series winners, and says some nice things about us as well. Good on you. Have a great day. Kelvin at Inverell sending that one through. He was the very special guest host yesterday, and he's still special and very special. Dean Bulldog Richie, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning.
Wearing the sky blue.
Yes.
This morning.
New South Walesham. Went through Rundle Mall last night, had a walk, fair bit of Origin around, a few jumpers, bit of colour. They had the big blow-up, what would you call it?
What are you laughing at, Daly?
The big blow-ups.
Big blow-up what? Finish that sentence, please. Big blow-up what?
Like
in Rundle Mall, they had a big blow-up something.
It's like dealing with
children. Don't leave it there.
You say blow-up, mate, start giggling.
Mate, how does it sound, though? I was walking through Rundle Mall and they had a big blow-up and then you stopped. That doesn't sound great.
Well, big State of Origin blow-up.
Blow-up what? Okay, thank you. I was just asking what was blown up.
Anyway, it's great to be here. Is that it?
How'd you go filling my boots yesterday? I heard you were on fire.
It was solid. Look at these.
Did you put up with these two?
Oh, they're just fools.
You sort of walked yourself into that one, though, didn't you?
I didn't expect it to be like play school, but anyway, they're still going.
We're a bit delirious.
This is eating into my segment now. I'll be giggling for 10 minutes.
Yeah. At least you woke Loz up. He's dying over here.
It's been a zombie all morning. Great to be here.
Tell us about your story you've written about Turbo today in today's Telegraph.
You finished? Yeah, Tommy's best backed on the tab for first try scorer Mido. I think he's holding about 15 or 16% of the investments. So it's funny, isn't it, that only a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people were bagging Tommy, saying he shouldn't be in the side and his form's not up to it. And
now you were one of them too, weren't you?
No, I was not. I said Tommy should have been there from the start. And now it's the same people saying we think he'll be first try scorer. Do you want me just to go?
Was it you that wrote the article that said New South Wales is a better team without Latrell Mitchell in it?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay. So it wasn't you. There's one down. I'm going to check with Buzz as well. I'll check with Denny.
No.
I don't know who wrote it, but I want to get to the bottom of it.
Where did you see it?
Can't remember. Okay. Online. It was online yesterday, I think. I read it yesterday morning.
I think some people, they'll probably refer to the fact, Clarkie, that as Laurie knows, Stephen Crichton comes in and he goes
that
on
connection.
The left side with all those connections. I think that's what people are referring to.
Yeah. I don't think they meant a better team because I don't think anyone would be a better team without him.
No way.
But I can understand, and I think it too, there's more connection there with those Penrith guys and he'll feel more comfortable. So sometimes when you're defending with players that you've never defended with, you can be found in the defensive system.
Yeah.
Whereas the way that they will defend, they're just used to doing it. And they've got the best defensive record in the competition, Penrith. So I'd be feeling comfortable if you're the New South Wales coach, Brad Fittler there, having Crichton there, just knowing that it's not like bringing someone else in that has never worked with Luai and also Tolo
before. Voices. They get used to voices, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Defensively.
Yeah.
But if Queensland are to win, what's going to be defining for them? Where can you see their difference? Because, again, Loz has mentioned a few times when Latrell was fit and was going to play, the fact we got Latrell back, Tommy T back, and the Fox back, and we didn't have them last year, that was going to be defining for New South Wales. What about the other side? What's Queensland's difference?
In terms of their advantages, you think?
Yeah, or just if they're going to win, where do you think it's going to come from?
Yeah, well, gee, Clark, it's a good question, isn't it? I mean, their halves are spectacular. Cherry will organise. Munster's unorthodox. Walsh will sweep round from the back. He's got speed. That right edge, Holmes, Cobbo, speed and power. They've got a bit of firepower with Flegler and Collins. They've got size with Fifita. It's a good football team, isn't it?
It is
a very, very good football team.
And one player you didn't mention, well, you did mention him, you're swinging behind and out the back, Reece Walsh. But I think he'd be dangerous through the middle too. I don't see him do a lot of it with Brisbane. I see him support, and if there's a half break, mate, he uses his speed to get there, to put himself in a position to receive the ball. But I think if he can, you know, push himself around the ruck a little bit more than what he does for the Broncos. Now, whether he can do that in Origin or not, just switch on and do it, I don't know whether he can, but he'd be someone that I'd be fearful tonight if he's just sniffing around the middle rather than thinking he's got to be out the back on an edge all the time. You know he's going to cause chaos at some stage during a game on an edge. But for me, when forwards start to get fatigued, the little fast guy with good footwork, they're the ones that the big forwards don't want to defend. And that's what you'd be saying to this middle of New South Wales. Don't get wide in fence. You need to be nice and tight. And if you feel you're vulnerable, tighten up a bit. As soon as you feel like you've bit, the space is wide between you and the next defender, tighten up. I'd rather you be too narrow in defence than too wide.
Yeah, okay.
Walsh could be a player, and I hate the word target, it's a bit of an old cliche, but he could be the player that the Blues look to, though, to really put some pressure on.
He's young,
he's brash.
First game.
The Origin arena is different. It's his first game, Laurie. We know he's got a little bit of cockiness about him, and that can unravel in a big game. They asked Billy Slater at the press conference yesterday up here in the Moor, and Billy bristled a bit at a journalist, saying, "Have you not seen him play?" To which the journalist did say, "Well, this is at another level." And then Billy explained why.
The only thing I would say to that, if you're a young man making your debut, you're certainly not as nervous as you would be if it was at Suncorp or ANZ Stadium, because you've got just that parochialism that's just for one side. And if you make a mistake, and it's in New South Wales, for instance, they're just hammering you. They're riding your coattail all the time. Whereas here in Adelaide, I don't know what the atmosphere will be like, and it's not going to be that typical Origin Arena, that cauldron-type feel when you run out there. So as a young bloke making your debut, you want to either make it at home or a neutral venue rather than making it on your opposition's home deck, I would think.
At our lunch yesterday at the Aussie Inn here in Adelaide, Bulldog, you were speaking to Alfie Langer. As far as New South Wales players, they're most wary of. Did he bring any up in particular?
Yeah, I asked Alf who he feared, in inverted commas, tonight. And he was very quick to say James Tedesco. And when you look back, Teddy has copped a little bit of a whack this year, a few clips over the years, which he's not used to. I know his numbers have been down quite significantly on what Teddy's posted in recent years. He's an elite player. Any suggestion that he wasn't going to be picked, and there were a couple around town, I think were off target. I thought James Tedesco was always going to be the fullback, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever in doubt being selected.
There might have been people questioning him. Yeah.
Whether he'd be there or not, but I think they were always going to pick him.
Yeah, and he's always going to be captain, again, in my opinion. But Alf said great players like Tedesco have one way of, boring it into the critics, and that's by having a big game. So he's the player that Queensland fear most, I think, tonight, that Teddy will bounce back from some criticism. He's been condemned a bit through the media for his performances in a side that's going poorly too. I think 5 wins from 11 games, the Roosters. So, yeah, he'll be the man tonight. I think Teddy's in for a real captain's knock.
Yeah, I think he will be. I think that he'll worry Queensland through the middle. We speak about his footwork and speed, but he's also got great strength to push through when players are under fatigue. And these middles for Queensland will be under fatigue. The big question mark for me, and we've spoken about it since he's been announced in the team, is Tevita Pengai Jr. He could either go into this game and blow it apart in the first 15 minutes and just do some damage, real damage with and without the football, or he can go there and get blown away himself. Just the speed of the game might find him out. New South Wales mightn't have any football in the opening 10 minutes of the game. He might get fatigued early. So there's unknowns there with him, but on the other side of the coin, you're quite excited about just seeing how he's going to go.
We love a firebrand, don't we, in Origin? That's what brings the excitement. If you were coaching Laurie, what would be your words to him in the dressing room? What are your last comments to Tevita Pengai? Are you saying to him, you stay disciplined and you stay within the parameters of our processes? Or are you saying, mate, you get out there and I want you to cause a little bit of havoc?
Well, you want him to be aggressive.
So that's what he's there for.
It's a double-edged sword. But you've got to be he's got to be made aware that he can't do anything silly. So you need him to carry the ball aggressively, and if there's an offload there to be had, use it. If he can make an impact with his shoulder in defence, dig right into the ribs of the opposition. But you want him, first and foremost, to be disciplined. You can't afford him to give away cheap shots. You can't afford to be jumping early in the defensive line, giving away a penalty or another six to go. Because if he does that and they start getting, you know, six to goes, penalty, reset starts in New South Wales field position, then he gets put under fatigue early. And on the opposite sort of dressing shed, you're basically saying to the forwards of Queensland, take him on. Don't back down from the challenge. If he wants to come out and be the tough guy, let's stand up for ourselves and give it back. And you'd make him do a lot of defence early because he's never been on this arena, and see how he goes after he's made three or four tackles in a row. Let's see whether he carries the ball in the next set of six. You know, you've got to try and fight fire with fire. And I just don't know how he's going to go. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I'm hoping that he gives us his best, because his best is enough to break the game open in the first 15 minutes. But then again, if he gets fatigued early, his origin might be over in 15, 20 minutes.
If he's too disciplined, I fear, though, that the game will go past so quickly, he won't get into the game, and he'll just drift along for his 35, 37 minutes, which he normally gets.
Mm. No, he can't do that. You've
got to say he's out of the side. Yeah. Mm. See, you know, he's got to roll his sleeves up.
No. Well, the first 15 minutes will be defining for his origin career.
Loz, probably more for you. We talk about Billy Slater and Brad Fittler in the lead-up to this origin, and you do every origin series, you talk about the two coaches. And I understand the impact you have in regards to selecting your team, but how defining is your role as a coach in regards to the outcome of the game? Because again, if you look on paper, both teams have sat here for a number of days. Both teams are very talented, got some really tough players. It's hard to compare. They're two pretty even teams. So will this game come down to coaching? Will this come down to who you start, when you drag a player, who you replace them with, decisions you make through that 80 minutes? How important is Billy Slater and Brad Fittler now? Or is their job done?
Their job is done. Okay. You can make a difference at times if you make the right tactical change.
Yep.
And you can sense the flow of the game, when to bring someone off, when to bring someone on. Mm. But most of your work as a coach is done now. It's left up to the players.
Okay.
But a big part of the game plan is you just competing. You're just competing. Because I've said it a lot. You just don't get the same time and space in Origin like you do in a club game. So for mine, it's about outworking. If you can outthink your opponent, that's great, but you leave that tender up to your players in the key positions. But the forwards, outside backs, have just got to be aware of their decision-making and under fatigue, continue to push as hard as they possibly can.
How much of a boxing match is it for two coaches, Laurie? I mean, you're almost trading punches from the sideline, are you? Aren't you? In terms of tactics on the run. They do something, you counter. You do something, they counter. It's a constant 80-minute battle, isn't it, to keep up with what they're doing and they keep up with what you're doing.
And it's about your coaching staff as well, because, to be fair, in an Origin game when it's so quick, you can't have your eye on everything. You're watching, one, what your team's doing, two, what the opposition is doing, and three, you've got to look at individuals in how they're travelling. So, you know, sometimes you put the responsibility on your coaches. Like, I might be watching the team and I'd say, mate, keep an eye on Penguy Jr. Let me know whether he's gassed. You talk to the sports science people and they'll give you live updated data on how they're travelling and what their heart rate's at. So you actually can predict a little bit about when they're going to fatigue, so you can make a change before they actually get to that point. But again, then it comes down to your eyesight as well. What you're seeing on the field, you're just not going to make it a decision based on data. Because his heart rate might be up, but he's still doing plenty of work. He's still covering the space in the defensive line. He's still carrying the ball nice and aggressive. So you possibly leave them out.
If you're an assistant coach, and I'm not suggesting the coaches that you were with in State of Origin, hypothetically, if they said, I want to give Tevita Pangai a break, but you didn't think he was ready for that. Would you overrule, or would you say, okay, I'll have to run with you here because
trust you? I always went with... So if I got that information, I would then automatically look at that guy for the next minute. I'd keep my eye on him for a minute.
Would they get cranky if you overruled them,
though? Then I'd make my own assessment. No, they wouldn't get cranky because they know that at the end of the day...
Luck stops with you.
Yeah, there's only one head coach.
So it doesn't matter whether they're making the decisions or not. You take their advice on board, and more than not, you'll go with their advice. But there's been times where you go,
gut.
I'll go with my gut feel. And that's the thing I learned. Like, it's like anything in life, I reckon. Your gut is usually right, I reckon.
Well, you can live with that. Well, when you're the person that's accountable and responsible, you can live with backing your own gut more than if you don't make that call and you hesitate. Then in time you go, shit, I should have went with my gut. Yeah. I felt it at the time. I reckon if you go with it and you make a mistake, you go, well, that's part of my job. That's why I've been given this job. Yeah. I'm accountable for it. I made a mistake. I put my hand up and I take that.
Bulldog, have you worked out what you...
Okay, we discussed it off here. Clearly,
when
this
you went for a walk in Adelaide last night.
Big blow-up something.
Yeah. This is titillating Laurie's humour, okay? So I've tried to work out what it was. They're blow-up dolls, okay?
Big blow-up doll.
Are you happy with that?
Was in the middle of Hindley Street, a big blow-up doll.
Rundle Moore.
Anyone around
two faces. One was blue, one was Barone.
Hang on.
And they were face-to-face.
Yeah. Oh, this is morning radio.
So is that okay?
Well, why didn't you just say that?
Because you were giggling like a school kid, and your bug-lug mate here joined in, and I didn't know where to go.
What are you saying? We're a pile-on mentality on the show?
Big blow-up doll, face-to-face, in the middle of Rundle Mall. Oh, awesome. Morning all.
As far as the crowd is concerned, Bulldog, what are we expecting tonight after, I think it was 41,000 was the figure the other day?
41 was the other day, Mido. They... predicted 45. I checked them with the NRL this morning, and they're now saying high 47s.
Okay, that's not
so
too bad.
We're getting closer to that elusive sellout, which is
53 and a half.
Limited seating left. Look, there was reports that Buzz broke in his column last week saying that Ticketek was having a 2-for-1 deal at one point, so they're trying to put bums on seats. Mm. But certainly 47 will look good. It's State of Origin, and we all want sellouts, don't we?
Got to be a sellout. Game one of State of Origin series, got to be a sellout. Got to be.
We are in peak AFL territory.
No, but this is my point. Mm. Are they making the right decision? That's all. That's my wherever you take it. But in my especially game one, it's not game three, and somebody's already won the series. Game one, no matter where you have it in Australia, or if you were to take it New Zealand, for example, it's, in my opinion, it's got to be a sellout. It's game one of an origin.
Clucky, I 100% agree with you. I'll just throw this point out there, though, though. The South Australian government give the NRL a lot of money.
Understood.
So I don't know what the figure is. I'm tipping it would be about 4 to 5 million.
Got it.
So for that kind of coin and... Yeah. How that could help in so many areas in the game.
But we say that's about everything.
Of course.
Every decision is based on money.
A couple of thousand empty seats.
We're blowing up about the jersey. Puma give the NRL, State of Origin, Rugby League Australia, plenty of money. They sponsor them. So if they want to turn the jersey dark blue instead of light blue, then we have to accept that as well. Like, it seems like every single decision is based around money. Does that make it right?
No.
Is that what's best for the game? That's the only thing.
Financially...
Well,
capable
that's,
your game is.
Well, then you can take it. You could take it anywhere. Take it to Monaco. They're tax free. They'll pay double the money. They'll pay $10 million, and we'll go play there. Like, do you know? Like, yeah, every decision can't be about money.
It's a valid point.
Is interesting implications. Just you chat about the coaches earlier. Brad Fittler and Billy Slater. The implications of the result of this series, Bulldog. I mean, for Brad Fittler, let's face it.
Defining.
It's defining. 100%. Exactly right. And for Billy Slater, I can't help but feel, and you know, Loz has been adamant, I can't see him going that way. I still think he will continually get pushed towards the Melbourne Storm job post Craig Bellamy. And I'm not convinced he doesn't completely want it.
I think Billy eventually will go into the NRL. Look, at the moment, he's got a farm in Queensland. He's got horses up there.
He's got
a great life.
Channel 9, commentary.
He's got Nine. He's got Origin.
Get the feeling there's an itch there he wants to scratch, despite all that.
Yeah, a lot of coaches have that itch. Mm. And until you scratch it, you're frustrated. Mm. I mean, financially, Billy's money on Nine with his money for Queensland probably wouldn't come in a whole lot less than what he get at the Melbourne Storm. Mm. And you can throw in there 24/7 headaches, dramas, issues. Is it really worth the stress? Mm. But if it's in your DNA to coach at that level, well, it's in your DNA. It's
but if they get beaten 3-0 in this series, all of a sudden, does his star not shine anywhere near as bright?
Well, Freddie's...
Don't know with Billy. I reckon Billy's got this year pretty chilled. I don't think they'll...
Such a great win last year.
I think so. I think he's got leeway this year. I think Freddie opposite. I think Freddie...
Eyes under the pump.
I think Freddie either walks away on a high if we win on his own terms, or I think he's sacked if we don't win. That's what I think. Freddie's position. I reckon this year's we'll cut him slack no matter what. I think this time next year might be a different story.
Freddie has a clause, which states he will get another year. Excuse me, if he wins this series,
assuming he
wants it. Yeah, Freddie does enjoy it, but he does have other interests in life as well, and he's done it for what 4 or 5 years now, Laws. So. Maybe Freddie might want to walk away. But look, I don't know that. I haven't spoke to him. Let's get into the series. We'll see where it lands. If he gets the victory, which we all hope in New South Wales.
Let's get to tonight, and whatever team loses, we'll smash the coach.
And we'll go from there, Clarky.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and we'll run it tomorrow. Freddie under the pump.
Just trying to see what was Slater your prediction.
Slater, horrible selection. Got to go.
I had the Blues by 8.
Blues by 8, you've said. Man of the match, Jerome Luai. First try, Appy Korosau, I'm reading in today's Telegraph.
Yes, I think Jerome's in good nick. The last few weeks, his form has certainly increased. He's got a bit of spark about him at the moment, Loz, and he's looking the goods. He likes the Origin Arena. He's a showman, and he will, I think, tonight really take Queensland apart. And Appy Korosau, well, first try scorer, it's a hard one. They ask every year, you give him a name, but Appy will be sniffing around there from the ruck area and who knows? Back in for a few bucks.
Are you signing autographs, doing photos in Rundle Mall today?
No, I've got to help pack up the dolls. You have to deflate a part-time job.
Deflate the blow-ups.
I'm off to deflate.
Thank you so much, Ford. Thank you for having me. Such a great sport. Josh Hannay, the Queensland assistant coach, is coming up shortly. And just a reminder of the market with TAP. New South Wales, $1.80. Queensland, $2.05. The line is 1.5. Queensland the plus with TAB for Origin 1 tonight. Now, New South Wales 1-12 is the $3.20 favourite in margin betting. Queensland 1-12, $3.50. You're getting $3.80 for New South Wales, $13+, $5. Queensland, $13+, $15 for a draw after the 80 minutes. And then, of course, we'd have Golden Point. Now, the multi from yesterday still open, Loz, and you're keeping each team to win within, what was it, 1 and 8?
8 points. Okay. 8 or less. 8 or less. And Tom Trbojevic to score in the opening 70 minutes.
Okay. For Tommy to score opening 70 minutes, either team to win between 1 and 8 points, you're getting $9 on the TAB app. The TAB website for today's offers, and there you'll find it. Just some text here. Duffy, your biggest supporter, Loz, says, morning, boys. Got a multi for tonight. New South Wales, 13+. Addo Carr, anytime try scorer. Anytime Cleary, anytime Munster, anytime. Cherry Evans, anytime. She must think there's going to be some points. And says, I hope Tevita Peng guy has a great game because if he doesn't, go out and hammer. Queensland reporters will be on his back, says Duffy. Now, also, a nice little shout-out for you here. Loz says, hi, boys. Just a big shout-out to Laurie. My two kids are very excited about another State of Origin. I come from Kingscliff, and the access Laurie gave the fans, and especially the kids, when he was coaching the team up here back in 2017 was amazing. Just to let you know, all the kids around here now buy New South Wales jerseys, and a lot of it is access you gave them to the New South Wales team. He kept the players on the field for at least 45 minutes after every training session to give access to everybody to get signatures, etc. It's something that they've never forgotten. Thanks very much, Go the Blues, says Jeff, sending that one through.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, we loved our time up at Kingscliff. Great setup up there, great part of the world. And every time we went up there, we had a lot of people come to our training sessions. They really loved getting out and seeing the New South Wales side. And as I said before, it's the people's side, isn't it? It's not just Sydney side, it's everyone in New South Wales. Unite behind the New South Wales Blues.
Great on match day to go inside the Queensland camp and be joined by Josh Hennay, the Queensland assistant coach. Josh, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate your time. And coming off, I guess, what many saw as an upset series win last year, playing in Adelaide, game two being in Brisbane, you could argue maybe more pressure is on the Blues. So what gives you the confidence that Queensland won't be just that 1-2% off tonight?
Yeah, so I think last year was a bit of a reset for Queensland. Obviously, new staff. There were some new players blooded. And I felt like last year we built a platform for which we really wanted to, I guess, grow off and grow this year. And that's probably our challenge, right, is to back up last year. What we did last year was amazing. And as you say, it probably went against everyone's predictions. So for us, this going into this first game, it's very much been about not starting again, but growing on and building on what we started with this group at large last year. So, you know, all we can go on is what we saw from the guys last year and the week's preparation we've had leading into this game. And that gives us confidence and great positivity that the boys are ready to give their best game tonight, because we're going to need to. That New South Wales team's incredibly strong, and we're under no illusions as to the challenge that they possess, mate. So we know we can't afford to be 1 or 2% off, as you say. We need to be at our very best.
Josh, always talk about both teams, lineups, individual brilliance, that type of thing. But what can we expect from conditions, mate? What have you guys experienced since being here? What do you expect the ground to be like tonight?
Yeah, the conditions, to be fair, haven't been great. Looks like they're clearing up a little bit today. We got out on the Adelaide Oval yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, and already at that point it was a really dewy ground. The ground itself was in immaculate condition, but it's certainly quite slippery on top. So we're hopeful that with some dry conditions today that it'll dry out a fraction. But to be fair, it's a little bit greasy, but that's to be expected this time of year as well.
What about your own side, Josh? Plenty of strengths, and obviously Cameron Munster is a big game player, but the one we're sort of all looking forward to seeing, and he's a young, prodigious talent, is young Reece Walsh. How has he handled camp this week?
Yeah, Reece has had a great week, and I think really beneficial to Reece's week has been the fact that our head coach, Billy, is arguably the greatest fullback to ever play the game, so those two have been thick as thieves all week. Not only when we've had our training sessions, but just in and around the camp, those two have been spending a lot of time together. And I think for Reece, that's a huge benefit, right? That to have a guy in his corner like Bill, that's not only the coach, but as I say, a guy that's played that position at the highest level, just to, I guess, give him his own experiences and share his own experiences with Reece about what to expect. How to handle certain situations and how to handle the pressure of origin. Because there's no doubt the Blues are going to come for Reece. We're fully aware of that, and they're mad if they don't. So I think the fact that, as I say, Reece has had Bill in his corner all week, and it's really allowed Reece to settle. And we at some point tonight, Reece is going to get the opportunity to show what he's shown at club level. But there's certainly going to be points tonight as well where he's under enormous pressure. And we're hopeful and we're confident that the kid will stand up to it.
Josh, what does Queensland need from David Fifita tonight?
Oh, nothing but his best. You know, Dave's journey back has been a well-documented one. He's had to go away and, I guess, mature as a person and as a player, and certainly that's been evident in his game this year. He's taken great strides with his game, and it's been well-documented the areas where he needed to grow and develop, and certainly I think the guy we've seen in camp this week has been a more mature player, a more mature individual. And we just need Dave to give his very best effort. And again, like I said about Reece, there'll be times tonight where Dave's under enormous pressure. And you don't really know until you're out there and you see those players out there for the first couple of times. You don't know how they're going to handle that pressure. We've picked Dave because we believe he's in a position in his life and his football where he's up ready to handle it. So time will tell, but again, he's a guy that's had a great week of preparation. He deserves his spot in his team.
Yeah, Josh, I like the look of both benches for both teams. Obviously, there's a lot of grunt on both benches, but you've had a lot to do with Nicho Hynes over the last 18 months, and obviously everyone has a role to play, and you've got plans that you have in place, but during an Origin contest, sometimes they go out the window. But where do you anticipate seeing Nicho Hynes pop up tonight?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think all things being equal, and they don't get any injuries to their back line, I wouldn't think they would waste a change on bringing Nicho on to replace one of the backs, unless it's a necessity. So in that instance, I see him coming on in the middle of the field and playing as a ball playing forward, if you like. I think Nico's football is at a point where his confidence is such and his game is at such a level that whatever job and whatever role they give him tonight, having worked with Nicho closely over the last year and a half, I know he'll make a real fist of it. And when he gets on the field, whatever point in the game it is, one thing I know for sure about Nicho is he'll take the game on, and he's going to be a threat, and we're all going to know he's out there when he gets out there. So, he's a dangerous player.
We're speaking with Queensland assistant coach Josh Hannay. And Josh, what was the thinking in the switching of Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou and Valentine Holmes to the opposite sides of the field?
Yeah, so that was... it's not something that we've done mid-camp. From the very first rep that we've trained during this preparation, we decided that we liked the idea of Val being over on the right and Hamiso on the left. It suits their individual games. Is a predominant left-hand hand carry when he carries the football. So nothing more sinister or in-depth than that. It really was about... we felt like those positions on those sides of the field just suited those two guys' games individually. So I know there was reports that we've switched them mid-camp. I'll tell you right now, that's completely incorrect. We've had Val on the right and Hamiso on the left for every rep of every session. So... those two guys are familiar with the people around them. They've done plenty of work there this week. And again, we're confident that we've made the right decision there, yeah.
Sounds like it's been a pretty smooth camp, Josh. Unlike New South Wales, mate, where they've had players in doubt and, you know, tooth injuries.
Toothaches.
Yeah,
how's the squad been all week? No dramas?
No, it's been really good. And you get a little bit... Sometimes you get a little bit nervous when things have gone too smooth. Sometimes a bit of disruption actually keeps you on your toes. But, our camp from day one, as I say, has been a really smooth one. From that end, we've got no excuses. There's been, as I say, zero disruption. I know our opposition have had their situations going on down there. But from our end, we've been really happy with the work we've been able to get in. And now it's just over to the players and, hopefully we can get the job done tonight.
And playing in Adelaide interstate generally, I guess any time a game isn't in New South Wales, Queensland probably expect to have more support?
I hope so. I'm not sure why that is, but yeah, I think I went out and visited Port Adelaide yesterday and I was talking to some of the coaches there, and they're actually of the opinion it'll be fairly neutral. They feel like it's a pretty even split here of expats in Adelaide, so it'll be interesting to see who does get the lion's share of support.
Well, we really appreciate your time on Match Morning, Josh. Thanks so much.
No, thanks so much for having me, guys. Thank you.
Josh Hannay, the Queensland assistant coach. And again, we spoke to Josh, I remember, on Match Day in one of the games last year. And I think we said afterwards, surely there's a coach in waiting, Loz. And there he is, going to Port Adelaide, mixing with the coaches there yesterday. It just feels like a head coaching job is ahead of him.
Well,
from what you hear as
well. Well, if I'm running a football club, if you're targeting a young coach, he's certainly one of them that I would go after. I think he's very impressive. He's had a long apprenticeship. You speak to a lot of people around our industry, our game. They talk highly of him. Had a strong impact and influence with a lot of the Queensland players last year. He's helped Billy along. And I think he's a terrific young coach. And given the opportunity, I think he'd make a great fist of it.
And this week with, I think it was Ben Hennant on Gold Coast Radio, just, you know, sort of saying, look out for ducks and drakes as far as mind games are played, and how he said, like, Mal used to come in and say, right, who wants to be sick and go and tell the media today? And, you know, saying perhaps that's what's been going on with Nathan Cleary and his toothache. Well, this, I don't think, is a joke, this boxing story yesterday, pup. You'll like this one. Tim Zhu, bitten by a mate's dog at a barbecue.
Yeah, I did see that.
So that was on Saturday. He's got a wound on the back of his right forearm that needed stitches, but it is believed all is still good for his June 18 fight, not long away, June 18 fight on the Gold Coast against Mexican Carlos Ocampo. But you got to be careful of those dogs at the barbecue.
Lock him in. He'll be sweet. Little bite from a dog, I think he'll be fine. Just worry about infection. That's the only thing with something like that. Jeez. But, yep, you got to be careful, Mido. You never know.
What type of dog it was.
Someone's going to bite you. Just don't know what the days are, what you got in store for you on a daily basis. So I think Tim Zhu will be fine.
New South Wales by how many, Clarkie?
What do you mean? You can't tell me who I'm going for.
Yeah, I can.
You can't tell me I'm going for New South Wales.
I just told you. You're a New South Welshman. You got no choice.
Okay.
Put you in a headlock.
New South Wales by 7.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, Matt, don't cry me a river. If you copy me, go for it. But don't ask me a question and then tell me the answer.
Nathan Cleary field goal, just to give us that.
And I'm going Teddy man of the match.
How many, Loz? How many do we win by tonight?
4.
You're the only one we take notice of here anyway.
New South Wales 4.
That tight, you reckon? Yep. And what's the score? Like, you're saying it's a tight game, but is it a low scoring?
2016.
Oh, that's more points than I thought. Okay.
2016.
Okay.
15-8.
15-8. Blues or Queensland?
Steve Hewlett, good morning to you. How are you? We'll get to Steve shortly.
Steve is definitely going for Queensland. They've blocked him.
Nah, it's always fun though, isn't it? The morning of State of Origin. Yeah. Everyone gets excited.
The unknowns.
Builds up throughout the day. You're that excited as a kid to get home from school.
Yeah.
Jump in front of the box.
I've got to say,
butterflies,
I'm nervous about the Queensland Ben Hunt, Harry Grant. I'm really, if conditions are what they're saying, dew, slippery underfoot, just those two blokes in that number 9 position, are just, they've been phenomenal. They work well together. They control Queensland's game so much. That is what makes me nervous.
No, they're going to be hard to stop. That's why it's such an important role that New South Wales defence is very strong in the middle and they limit the amount of fast play, the balls that, or the momentum in particular around the ruck that Queensland generate. If they can stop that ruck speed, that'll go a long way towards them winning the game.
Steve Hewlett, good morning.
I'm with you now, guys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And great to see a midweek meeting at Doomben of good quality today.
Exactly. There's a daughter of Miss Finland going around hoping to get enough prize money to run in the Oak, in the Atkins, I should say, Miracle of Love. So we'll be talking about her this morning. We'll hear from Paul Massara. Also going to talk to Chris Lees. This Amakura, she's really progressive. I know she only won a maiden 2 ago, but she looked brilliant in doing so. And then she won at Caloundra. She's going to get a nice run for Damien Oliver. So I want to get Chris Lees' feeling, what he thinks of her. Of course, he won the Oaks, Queensland Oaks, some years ago with Vitesse Dane. So he'll be one of our guests. Todd Pollard from the Neesham stable. Kelly Sweeter. Update on Jim Byrne and Jasmine Cornish as well. So heaps of news this morning. David Simcock, by the way, guys, that horse raced well in the Golden Eagle Light Infantry last spring. He's about to run at Royal Ascot and then he's coming down again for the spring, so we'll talk to David Simcock about Light Infantry in the UK.
Okay, great stuff. New South Wales by how many tonight, mate?
4.
That'll do.
I've got to be careful up here.
I appreciate it.
Really enjoy. Careful, thanks.
We'll catch Steve's show on the Radio Tab Network coming up just after the news in 5 minutes' time. David, Brian Stanley, good morning to you. How are you?
Brian. No, it's not Brian, but we'll run with that. How are you, Mido?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good.
How's Adelaide?
Good. No, nice. We had a great arvo yesterday. Loz and Ciro and Alfie held court there at the
Aussie.
How
good's Alfie?
Inn.
The last time I was with Alfie boys was in
Cowra,
Darwin.
Wasn't it?
No, it was. Oh, actually, it was in Cowra, and he stitched the axe up. He was. What about
Trevor
the poor axe?
Yep.
He was getting him Axe thought he was just on the mid-strength. And Alfie was throwing shots of vodka him to Gilly
Schoon.
Like
Alfred.
No, it doesn't sound like Alfie at all. That's not Alan Langer behaviour. But I'll tell you what, boys. I know you're gonna go through your tips again, but you're quite keen on New South Wales, aren't you? The three of you, obviously.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dominantly.
I don't think it'll be a high. I don't think it'll be a big margin, Dave. I think it'll be tight.
Yep.
I just think, for me personally, I like Tom. I just think Tom and Tedesco are two big game players, and I think in a tight game you look for the game breakers. Munster worries me, and as Pup said before, Grant and Hunt, another combination that worries me. But if I'm Queensland, I'm worried about Turbo and Tedesco. I think they're game breakers.
Okay, so that New South Wales won the 12, what, $3.20?
That's what I'd be all over.
Yeah. All right. What's yours, Middo? What's your tip?
New South Wales, Turbo anytime try scorer. But, yeah, New South Wales 1-12, Turbo anytime. A little same game multi. If you want to do pick the score footy tab, 15-8. There you go.
Nice. What about yours, Pup? Who are you tipping?
I said Blues by 7 and Tedesco man of the match.
I like it. I like it, boys.
Quite low scoring as well.
Today on Racing HQ, so we've heard Steve Hewlett's got a massive show, obviously. They build towards the Oaks there. Adrian Bott's going to join me this morning here in Sydney. John Sargent, David Eustace, Chad Schofield, Matt Smith, Sam Friedman, Michael Maxworthy. And then at around 10 o'clock, I'm going to got a new little segment. So obviously, Dicko makes the multis for the tab for you guys. And obviously is a bookie, and we have a lot of traders. We've also got Adrian Bork on our program on a Thursday. I basically went to the bookies yesterday and said, look, obviously we create these multis, but can you every day at 10 o'clock give me the three best-backed options across the board of the business? It could be a greyhound, a harness horse, a thoroughbred. It could be a try scorer in the footy tonight, a goal scorer in a random soccer match. And I'm not just talking about what they call soft money, which is just, you know, general people just having a bet. I'm talking about the smart money. I want to know where the smart money is going, and I want the three best-backed runners or best-backed options. So they've agreed to do that, and then we're going to put that in our Bets Friends every day. It'll be 10 o'clock every day, Monday to Friday. So we'll see how good it goes today. They're not going to be price-relative, boys, so doesn't matter if they're $1.40, $1.30, $2, whatever. It's just literally whatever the smart punters are backing for the day and the three best-backed ones, which are going to be the three gem segments. So that'll be about 10 o'clock every day, Monday to Friday. And as I said, if you miss out, if you can't be listening at 10 o'clock, you can jump on the Bets Friends page on the Tab app, BSB Racing HQ, and hopefully they can just be some little things we can maybe throw in multis or just keep an eye on. It'll be very interesting to see how they go. But that's all coming up, boys. Enjoy tonight there in Adelaide, and we'll see you back in Sydney in the next couple of days.
Good on you, Dave. Bring on the three gems. I like it.
Yeah, no, just something, because obviously we talk about, you know, oh, this has been really well backed and this has got a lot of money on it, but sometimes that could just be a particular punter having just, you know, 10,000 on it, and he might have more money than sense. So I think it's just, I wanted to really hone in on exactly where, basically, options where prices are shifting. So, as I said, it's going to be just a little bit left of field, and that'll be about 10 o'clock today on Racing HQ, and we're going to do that Monday to Friday right through, right across the board.